This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Angeline Tay, and today we have Incitement, which is a movement that transforms inspiration into actionable steps for the startup community with social businesses. And in the studio, we have Zikri Khalil. He is the founder of Incitement. So welcome to the show.
Yo, yo, yo.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself, your career path. You know, what led you to Incitement?
Very, very good question. I think it's down to the fact that I kind of got really fed up with, you know, things that didn't really work. And by chance, I was in this company where there were a lot of smart people. And I saw a gray area where these individuals have amazing things to share that can be a form of inspiration to the other colleagues who are still struggling or being very mediocre. And we just had like a weekly hangout where we make it very, very informal, people sitting on beanbags. And this whole time I keep telling our colleagues who want to share their stories to tell them your mission here is not to just share, but to inspire the hell out of your audience. I can't say that, right?
It's too late now.
Okay. Yeah, and then we saw a spark there because now people are more interested in what can they do on what these guys have achieved. For example, one guy was talking about how he traveled to Vietnam for merely $100 for a week. And they want to know, how do you spend $100 a week staying in Vietnam? So, and he shared how he did it. And everybody was going to go and take this challenge. And this is when I saw there's opportunity to change the way how we do our talks. And now we have grown it in a way where it's designed specifically to transform one's inspiration into taking action. And that's how we started.
So basically it's all talks? You do talks, organizing different kinds of talks?
Yeah, the talks are very, very engaging. Speakers don't come and speak for 20 minutes nonstop. They're highly, highly encouraged to engage with them, ask questions, do exercises in between, so you don't feel like you're in a talk. When we kick off Incitement Talks, the lights are turned off and you see a countdown. Everyone's counting the countdown together. So it feels like you're in some kind of concert, and then there's a montage playing, and then after the montage ends, lights are back on and the host comes on and tells everyone to stand up and punch the air, high-five one another. And the only reason why we do that is to raise the vibration level of your brain really high so you become more receptive of what's coming next. And then, you know, when we only have three speakers in one Incitement Talks, and in between you have sessions that's designed literally to get the energy going and do sessions like Pitch a Pocketeer, which is basically a pitching exercise. You know, grab whatever you have in your pocket or in your handbag and try to sell your partner over there, and, you know, come up with any kind of selling, you know, story. You know, it could be a magical pen, stuff like that. And the reason why we do that is just to get to know one another, and also, you know, your life is all about selling, anyways, right? And the best part is the magical part happens at the end of the talks, because we do an appreciation round. That's when we get all the speakers come on stage, get all the audience to stand up, and we play Coldplay Fix You in the background. So you set the mood in tone, and that's when we ask the audience to share who do you appreciate the most, who inspired you tonight, who moved you tonight. And you see people in tears, people in like trembling, and you know, when you have someone going through this moment, it's the perfect time to channel them with a call to action. That's when we share these social projects that we partner with, from Fuji School, which is Deborah Henry's little project, from Street Feeders to Liter of Light Malaysia to Epic Homes, so people are more aware of the great things that's happening on the ground that's helping to solve all these real world problems. And that's how that's an Incitement Talks for you.
So actually, the core goal for having Incitement Talks is for the social cause.
Social causes, social projects, initiatives, NGOs that's doing an amazing job, and programs that can also help you grow. So a lot of people kind of open up their mind, because a lot of us have mental blocks, right? Because, you know, you've been conditioned in some certain way in your path of in life. So the reason why we do that is to get them to be more aware of how these people who were in the same boat finally, you know, unclog themselves and went to engage or start something. If they want to start a project and they don't know how, we always channel them to, you know, we have a lot of partners like Impact Hub. They're one of the, they're one of the co-creating space. They're very global. There's 79 offices around the world, and there's one in KL. And we're partners with them, with almost 30 of them, because Insightment's in 45 countries. So we channel all these audiences who could become the next, I don't know, the next Homes, or the next Insightment, or the next Epic Homes, so that they have more guidance. So it's basically to kind of, you know, give you more awareness and more perspective, and how can you contribute more and pretty much reinventing the way we do volunteerism also.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you call yourself Insightment a social business.
Correct.
So what's your business model? Do you charge people to come to your talks and things like that?
It is our it's our mantra to never ever charge, because there's so many programs that, so you know, have you heard about like Millionaire Mindset, or maybe like Burning Man or Asana's Fest? Those are also personal growth events that you pay like a lot of money. And you know, for many people who want to experience that, they, you know, it's going to cost them a bomb. So what we do is we kind of hacked the way we took that concept a bit, and then people can come just for free, and they can experience the same thing within under 2.5 hours. But the way how we are generating revenue is helping the projects that are doing, such as, you know, Fuji School and all these guys, Little of Light. You know, they need resources, right? So, you know, Insightment is just very blessed with so many great contacts, you know, who are in the MNCs or government agencies. So we act as the middle person to help these guys. So a lot of social projects, they struggle with, they're great at doing it, but they struggle when it comes to business. It's a challenge for them how to do marketing or financing. So that's when we come in to help them out. And we have a team that does that. So we act as the middle guy to help out the connection between, say, PepsiCo wants to sponsor Liter of Light by going through a branding awareness campaign, so they would bandwagon the Liter of Light movement, where basically what they do is they power up, they build solar lights for indigenous villages. Mm-hmm. And so we act as the middle person, and then there's a percentage, and that's it. Very simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does all these projects fall under Insightment, or they are all independent projects or social enterprises?
A lot of them are very independent. There's only one at the moment in Malaysia that it's under the Insightment umbrella. So mm-hmm. for the others, it's pretty much the same thing. And, you know, we just take a tiny cut, which is enough. We know how much we need to survive. We are not about, you know, making the big dollar money. It's, for us, it's a big impact value that is more important. Because if you really look at the way how the journey of Insightment, or even Epic Homes, for example, the investment we've done for ourselves within the timeline took us 4 to 6 years. For Epic Homes, it's 6 years. For us, it's 4 years to get to where we are now. And it's a long investment, right? 4 years of building Insightment. Now the value has been absolutely astonishing, you know, reaching up to a next level thing. You know, we have other Insightment around the world. In Italy, they're already breaking even, so we were able to have a little bit of royalty coming in from them already, and that's because they also used the Insightment brand as well. And everyone is aligned; no one is isolated around Insightment talks around the world, because we focus on that one big vision, and I think we're very close.
And so, what is the biggest challenge to date, though?
Ooh, there's a few. You know, like I think social entrepreneurship or social business in Malaysia or in Southeast Asia is still fresh. I think to some countries it's still an alienated concept. But other than that, I feel that a few challenges would be, you know, if our people are matured enough to accept something like this. You know, people would ask me, how can you make money by helping people? That's the first thing they ask me. How do you make money? How do you make money?
But it's all about money, right?
It is. It is. You have to, you know, it's a vehicle to move to where you want to be, right? And that's why we keep telling people that, you know, pitching is like what you're going to do for the rest of your life. It's tied down to where you want to end up with. And people think, you know, we're just being a bit crazy, but sometimes, you know, when people tell you you're crazy, I think you kind of are doing a good thing, no?
You're on the right path, right?
Yeah.
But then, like you said, you know, the challenge is the social entrepreneurship in, you know, maybe Malaysia, is the fact that if you want to pitch to an investor and they hear that you're a social enterprise,
that's a challenge.
Right? And yeah. And they will not invest in you because they know the return on investment will not be there.
Yes. We've talked to a lot of investors. I've been in a lot of these European Union entrepreneur summits, you know, giving talks about social entrepreneurship. And their definition of social entrepreneurship is depending on which country you're pitching it. So if you're in Slovenia or in anywhere in the Balkans, in Slovenia to be precise, they think social entrepreneurship is more tied down to agriculture, nothing in general. That's how they determine what is social entrepreneurship. Now, when we talk to investors from the US, from the EU, you know, all of, and I ask them, you know, have you ever invested in a social entrepreneurship, something like Tom's or anything like that? And they said no. And their answer was simple, because, you know, I cannot exit fast. And, you know, when we hear that, like, there's no way you can exit fast with a social, and, you know, any social business out there.
Mm-hmm.
It needs time. It does. And I hope someone does crack the code one day and just does amazing things within a year.
I mean, like, speaking of cracking the code, Insightline is only 4 years old, but you're available. I mean, you are in 45 countries, mm-hmm. and you have 400% year-on-year revenue growth.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's quite a story right there, but we'll find out more how you do that. After this, we have Zikri Khalil, founder of Insightline. This is Open for Business, BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're still listening to Open for Business, and I'm Angeline Tay. We have Zikri Khalil, founder of Insightline, with us. And so what I do is a movement that transforms inspiration into actionable steps for the startup community with social businesses. Now, what's impressive about Insightline is that in 4 years, they have presence in 45 countries, co-created hundreds of social impact projects worldwide. And, you know, this success is supported by a staggering 400% year-on-year revenue growth. And how did you do that in 4 years?
Whoa. Well, we were quite surprised, to be honest. Me and my co-founder, Daniel, who's from Holland, you know, when we started this together, we did struggle a lot. You know, I think I could even dare to say that there were three times where we were almost borderline bankrupt, and that is because what we did was we were testing a lot of stuff, and we dared to take these risks because we, you know, it was just an transition from a movement base to a business base. And, you know, you have so many things on your plate. It's like a big puzzle trying to put things together, you know. We tested on how to crowdsource big speakers coming to Malaysia. We only broke even with that. We tested about, you know, doing workshops. Then we realized there's so many people doing the same thing. And then, you know, we kept trying and trying. And the first thing that comes in mind, I think, which most social entrepreneurs are always thinking, I think, in general speaking, is like, let's look for funds. Let's look for big grants. Let's look for government, you know, trying to, you know, give you some startup fund to, you know, do this project. And that was, I think, a learning lesson for me especially, because I kept going to all these accelerator programs, to pitching contests. And, you know, every time I go, I end up being in the final. And being in the final, that's when they tell you whether they will give you funds or not. And they will tell you, well, you're not what we're looking for, because we are more focused on Internet of Things, or, you know, more focused on agriculture. Your model doesn't fit anywhere where we want to fund you. Even though you're in the final, we're sorry, we can't help you. That frustrates us a lot. So what we did was, I think, you know, if you don't mind me sharing the whole story how we do this, is I have so many partners around the world who are already, you can say, generating a sustainable model for themselves. So I met the founder of Liter of Light, Ilak Diaz, in Amsterdam, and he was just saying, you know what, just come and bring this project, you know, bring in Malaysia. And I just told him, you know, in Malaysia we only have 1% who don't have lights. And he said, well, 1% is a lot, Zikri. In Philippines, we have 22% out of the 127 million Filipinos who don't have lights. So that gave us what, I never thought of that, you know, like, how can we, perhaps you could help projects who are trying to grow themselves faster by giving them more awareness through Insightline Talks. I mean, we've been doing that, but we haven't been focusing on, hey, how can we help you? We piloted first with Liter of Light, bringing it to Malaysia, and now we have so many people demanding for, like, because we just say we want to do 50 villages this year. That goes for Peninsula and also Sabah and Sarawak. And immediately we have big guys coming on, like from CIMB to PepsiCo to Masin to, you know, to Bank Negara, and there's so many in queue, from Sirium to, because we showed them how we the impact that is creating, you know, the social impact investment of how much value it's bringing in from the amount you're sponsoring or your funding, and this is how much you can do it. And that's how we've been using the same template, how can we do this for Fuji School? How can we do this for other projects out there that is looking for ways to grow? And basically it's to show how much you can, if a company wants to sponsor 50,000 ringgit, the value that you're creating, you can evaluate and show them, look, with 50,000 ringgit in a year, the value that you're creating for this project is over 300,000 ringgit. And of course for them it's like mind blown, and they become more educated also, which is also a process for them. And of course the best part is to share valuable data with other partners out there. And with this, with the right combination, you're able to grow really fast. Our relationship with Epic Homes has been amazing. You know, we share a lot of things like, where can we go? Which villages can we go in to build lights? Or which do you need more people? We can, because we have like a 10,000 people on our mailing list in Malaysia alone that we can just press one button, everyone. And the click-through rate is very high, like 87%. So that means people are always clicking on the email and trying to read what else can they volunteer with. Yeah, so all of that combination I just shared you, you know, like if a company comes in and bring and funding 80,000 ringgit, the value if will be more than that. That's, I mean, how
that's attractive for the big companies, right?
Oh, very attractive.
So, that's, is it a challenge for you to find then the social enterprise instead of finding clients?
Not really, because a lot of them have been attending Insightment like way before, I mean, perhaps in the beginning. And when they email us, like, hey, can you know, we are doing this, we need some help, can you, they have this concept in the beginning of some of them of wanting to just donate or stuff like that, but we give them an alternative solution. How can we, you know, just if you're able to pivot your model to make it more attractive, it's easy for us to help you and share it or perhaps sell it to big companies who can come on board and help you out. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much, you know, trying to have a little tweak, you know. I think that's the only way you can adapt to the fast pacing change of the social entrepreneurship scene now. You know, I think donation is quite a old, very traditional old concept, and it's hard to trigger, you know, unless you are very good at crowdfunding and on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. But if as a business itself, it has to be very more hands-on, tangible, and
What's the popular mistake then, you know, been done by all the social entrepreneurs in Malaysia, for example?
Oh, like I mentioned earlier, like all of, they think they're great at what they're doing, but they don't have that that fundamental of how to do a business or how to market, how to do accounting, how to do finance, how to hire, or how to deal with your talent. You know, talent management is very, very important, and it's always important to make them happy. And all of that combination, it kind of, that's pretty much, I would say, basic mistakes refuse to learn. That's, we have that kind of people also who think they know everything. You know, attitude also comes into play, and I think to you gotta think like you're running a company also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
From, because at Insightment we encourage people to learn. We buy books for them from Amazon, whatever they want to read. You know, we buy books from them, and then they present once a month on what they've learned from this book. So everybody gets to learn, and you know, we take care of everyone another, and it's just like, that's, I guess that's the way what, how I think every company should do, even for small social startups as well.
Now, 45 countries is a lot of social projects, social businesses around the world. Any memorable projects that you've come across?
Oh, there's plenty. Like Insightment in 1 minute. Okay, sorry. In Italy, we have a amazing project where they help unemployment youth there. So what they did was they actually got like 20 of the biggest companies in Italy to come together to help these problems, and a lot of them have been getting rehired by these special programs, because you know, there's not many jobs out there, right? And then you have in Palestine and also in Jordan where they reignited the old railway which was left by the British colony, and they somehow, one of the projects was to, let's bring back this railway into life, and they did it. I don't know how they did it, but through Insightment they did it. They run a campaign to do that, and I hope to do the same more over here, even though over here it's just more on talks. And yeah, you know, we're still growing, and I hope like people, you know, we can talk to more higher people who are in the government. Say, you know, I'm quite a big fan of some of the things that that KJ is doing, for example. You know, I hope we could do more of these amazing projects with if the government's open enough to do that. Because you know, right now Italy is kicking ass more than Malaysia, to be honest. Yeah, they're doing really amazing. So I hope we get to move to the next level in Malaysia alone. Yeah.
So where can people find more information about Incitement if they're interested to be part of the social projects?
Oh yeah, they can definitely go to www.theincitement.com. And that's where you can find a lot of information. If you want to start your own chapter, the license application is online as well. So you can go on there and apply. Doesn't matter if you're from a different country or from a city or from a, even from a village. All of you, it's an open source information of that available for you to go and kick your own incitement. And I'll be there. I'll be your customer support wherever you are.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. I've been speaking to Zikri Khalil. He is the founder of Incitement, and this has been Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.